Hey church, it's great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you very much for being a part of our services in person, online, and however it may be. But I want to say thanks to Fred. Fred just recently had surgery, and he's up here reading scripture this morning. Pretty impressive. We do have some folks that aren't able to be with us today, and so we want to continue to remember them. And certainly want to thank all of our visitors who are with us today, and we invite all to come back and be a part. And so everybody that's here is special. Visitors, members, even those who aren't able to be with us. But today, for the very first time, we have somebody with us. And this little angel is held by her mother, Angel. And so baby Oakley is here. So Angel, let's do the honors. Oh, wow. Look at baby Oakley. So precious. Angel, thank you. Isn't she beautiful? Yeah. Great, great, great. So thank you very much. She's trying to wake up now. Good deal. Wow. Isn't that amazing? You see God. You certainly can say you've seen God today, because that's certainly just a great, great just fact that God is amazing. We have been talking about being living stones here. I want to thank Justin publicly. I thanked him privately and probably several other times. He did such a great job and such a great man and doing a great job teaching class and did a great job preaching last week. I appreciate that. This theme this year of living stones, you know, I hope through it all we are understanding what God intends for us to be. My prayer is that we as Christians will be able to take that rock-solid truth and bring it alive in people's life. You see, we understand the Word of God is not dead. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God pricks hearts. In the Bible, it still pricks hearts today. And we've got to take that Word, and we've got to build on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and take that Word to all the world. And so this weekend, I do want you to know just some things I think you deserve to know. I'm privileged to not only serve as the minister here, but as one of the elders with four other great men. We spent a lot of time together, several hours, Friday and Saturday, talking, planning, praying, examining ourselves. We went together and we thought, how can we lead better? And through all of that, not only did we grow closer together, but we have a lot of exciting things. But one thing I want you to understand coming out of that meeting together at this retreat, we're ready to expand. We want to blow the doors out of this place. It's time to get in our community. It's time to start in our Jerusalem. It's time to go to the uttermost parts, right? We want to evangelize like we've never evangelized before. We want to get the Word out like we've never gotten the Word out before. You see, the world around us is dark. It's dark. You know, and that's something we're not going to get away. And by the way, that didn't just happen. The world has been dark for a very long time. Sin entered the world and this world became cursed. This world became imperfect. And with all of that, darkness has been here. But the beautiful thing is, as living stones, we are called to be the light. So today, as we study together, I want us to think about we're reflecting Christ's light, even though we're living in such a dark world. It wouldn't take long, right, to get the news or look online or wherever you might get your source of news from, and hear or see bad things that are going on. You see, there's a lot of hope. You know, when you have a new administration and you have new leadership, there's a lot of hope. When you have God at the forefront of everything, you have a lot of hope. But it doesn't take away the fact, unfortunately, that the world's dark. The world is full of sin. The world is without Christ. And it is our mission to help open the eyes of the spiritually blind. It's our mission to allow others to see that God is not the author of confusion, as so many are morally confused around us. It is our mission to take hope to those who are living in hopelessness. Man, Dawson Talbot, that was phenomenal. He came and read to us from Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and he did it so well. In that passage of Scripture, it's one that you're very familiar with, Jesus called followers. Who are we today? We're disciples, right? What is a disciple? It's a follower of Jesus Christ. He called his followers to be the light of the world. So the question is, what does that mean? Throughout the course of this sermon, I know you've got a concept of it, but we're going to dig into it. We're going to look at it. Part of being a living stone is being the light. It is being the light to a dark world. So we want to break down exactly, not only powerfully, but even very simply, what God expects of each of us. In the book of Genesis, it's amazing. This came up in class, and it was, no one knew that it was going to be in my sermon notes today. But in the book of Genesis, Adam comes into the world, right? And what did God say about Adam? What did he say to his heavenly host when he was making man? He said that he wanted to create man in his image, right? What does that mean? Oh, well, it means he has a spirit, he has love, he has all those things. Not literally. Literally what it means is, I want them to be imagers. I want Adam to be an image of me. I want Adam to bear me everywhere he goes. But what did Adam do? He allowed darkness in. God is light. And once darkness came in, God couldn't be in that presence, right? He had to leave. He had to get away because it separated, sin separated Adam from God. So what did God do? He had to bring a second Adam. That second Adam is his son, Jesus Christ. That's the way Paul describes him, as the second Adam. And so what did the second Adam come to do? To make us, again, imagers of God. What is our job today? To reflect the light of God through Jesus Christ. You and I have no light in us. Neither does the moon. Isn't it amazing? You can look up at the moon, and I think it was just this crescent moon, and it was a special time, but very soon the moon will be full again, right? And you can look up in the sky, and you can see the moon, and it will illuminate everything around. You know, you'll be able to see outside even in the dark. Why? Because that moon is so bright. It is shining so bright, but it's not shining at all. It is reflecting. The moon is reflecting the sun. And when it is full, it is fully reflecting the sun. What is your mission, your purpose? What is my mission, my purpose? To reflect Jesus Christ the Son. That is what my mission is in life. And so to understand this better, we need to first of all think about this. Jesus Christ is the true light. Jesus is the true light. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. It's a great passage of Scripture that we learn a lot. John's Gospel, all the Gospels are amazing, but I really love the insight that John gives us. And right here in John 8, verse 12, Jesus is talking, and that should get our attention, right? Jesus is talking, and he says to them, very simply, very powerfully, I am the light of the region, of the area. No, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, think about this, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Today, when you go outside these doors, I hope there's no darkness in here right now. I mean, I understand that we're sinners, but we didn't bring any evil in. We didn't bring any dark in. It's all about God right now. It's all about worshiping Him and praising Him. But outside these doors is going to be a lot of darkness, right? And so you're going to walk and you're going to go places. It may be a restaurant. It may be somewhere that you have to go to buy some groceries or something to that effect. And you're going to walk and you're going to see darkness. It won't take you very long. You might think, well, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. Why am I walking in darkness? The answer to that is this. When we are followers of Jesus, we are not part of this world. He called us out. Do we have to live in this world? Absolutely. Society around you is going to say, this is good, this is fun, this is what we should be, and it'll be glorifying darkness. But Jesus Christ said, I called you to be different. I called you to stand out. I called you to be light. I called you to reflect me. See, Jesus is that true light. And we must be His reflection. We must be imitators, imagers of God through Jesus Christ. Again, electricity is amazing. I don't know much about it except that because I don't know much about it, I shouldn't mess with it. But I do know that if I flip a light switch on and everything is lined up just right, as soon as I turn that light on, that switch on, I have light, right? Speed of light is very fast. But what else do I know about that? It's not the switch, is it? There's wires behind that. There's bulbs in there. And all of this works together, but ultimately, what does it do? It goes back to a power source. That power source provides enough electricity to power on that switch, that light, as soon as I flip that switch. We must be plugged into the power source. If you and I are not plugged into Jesus Christ today, your life is reflecting darkness. Oh, but I try to be good. I try to be this. No, we're either light or dark. There is no in between. There's no gray. There's no light black. It is only light or dark. Are you plugged into Jesus Christ today? If we want to shine, we've got to be connected to Him. You know, there are a lot of things that can keep us up at night as far as thinking about the church, right? There are a lot of things that keep us up at night thinking about our family. There are a lot of things that can keep us up at night focusing on things that we love and care about. But let's look at the church for a moment. There are those that ought to be here that are not here. Now listen to me. There are those that can't be here that want to be here, okay? There are those that are sick. There are those that are hurting. There are those who are in the hospital, that they even call me sometimes and say, hey, I really want to be there, but I'm sick. I can't be there. I had that happen yesterday. But there are those who are here, or not here, I should say, that have unplugged from the source. You know what they might say? They might tell you if you go and say, hey, well, that person said this and I didn't agree with it. Or that person didn't give me the right look or the right handshake or the right phone call or the right whatever. You know, and they can make excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. But you know what it boils down to? They unplugged from the source. Are there things that I can do to encourage people from unplugging? Certainly. Are there words? Are there encouragements? Are there pats on the back? Are there things that I can do? Absolutely. But ultimately, if I fall away from God, it is not your fault. It is mine. The importance of staying plugged into Jesus Christ is critical to be the living stone He desires us to be and to be the light of the world that He called us to be. And that's number two. Jesus called us to shine. He didn't just say, plug in, now go and illuminate. You're reflecting me, right? Matthew 5 again, 14 through 16. I won't read it near as well as Dawson, but here it is. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Note this. There are several things about this passage, and we've read that passage a lot of times, haven't we? We've heard that passage preached a lot of times, taught a lot of times. We've probably quoted it a lot of times. But there are some things in there that I believe we need to understand. Number one, being light, according to Christ, means you need to be visible. You see, that doesn't mean we need to go and be showy. I'm not saying that. Do not go and be like the Pharisees and pound your chest and talk about how you're this and you're that. That's not what He's saying. But He is saying, get out. When you go into the world, purposely be visible. In other words, allow others to see Jesus. But they got to see Him in us. They're not going to see Him. We may be the only scripture they read. What is the book they're reading? Is it the Word of God, or is it some R-rated book they shouldn't ever pick up? You see, people are reading, they observing. Paul said, clearly we're epistles, right? We're epistles clearly written. We're letters clearly written. Others are seeing. What are they reading? Be visible. Watch the way we react. We're talking about ethics in my Bible class, and we talked about standard. What is the standard when it comes to Christian ethics? Jesus Christ. It was brought up this morning, WWJD, what would Jesus do? As catchy as that was and as neat as that has been, as fashion over the years, and still people are wearing those today, the thought process is dead on. In every situation, I ought to think, what would Jesus do? And listen, I'd love to tell you I do that, but I don't. I don't preach sermons I don't need to hear. We all struggle. We all fall short of that standard. But let's not kid ourselves. He is the standard. But He called us to be visible. He also called us to not hide. There's a difference of being visible and hiding, or invisible and hiding. Invisible means you're just not there. You're just walking around in your own world, not thinking about reflecting Jesus. Hiding is when you have the opportunity and you don't reflect Jesus Christ. You see, there's going to come a time, maybe at school, maybe at work, maybe somewhere, that somebody is going to say something, do something, act something, tell you something. And it might be profane, it might be gossip, it might be unkind, it might be harsh, it could be all these things, but how are we going to react? Are we going to fit in with the darkness, hide it under a bushel? No. Or am I going to, in love, show them Jesus Christ? When I read Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it's not just a section of Scripture that I'm just familiar with and I can quote and I can say and we can sing about it. It's practical. and I've got to practice it. The world needs to see Christ in our actions, in our words, in our attitudes. We cannot hide our faith. Peter, we know how great Peter was, right? We know, I mean, let's face it, Peter, he opened the door spiritually to the kingdom, right? In Acts chapter 2. He became an elder in the church. He was a preacher in the church. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He wrote letters and he goes down as a hero. But there was a time when he hid the light. Hey, you were with that man. No, I wasn't. You were with that man. I saw you. No, I wasn't. You were with that man. And in order to blend in, you remember what he did? He cursed. Maybe if I say this, they'll think, hey, I blend in with the crowd. He had a moment to stand out of the crowd, but he blended in. Again, I'm not saying go out there and be showy. Don't draw attention to you. It ought to always draw attention to Jesus. But we cannot hide our faith because of fear. We can't hide it. We shouldn't hide it because of shame. We need to get that right. But also we shouldn't hide it because we become complacent. That's the one that bothers me the most, because I think we get fear. I think we get shame, and we understand that we need to change those things, but sometimes we get complacent. Satisfied where we are. I am a person that I do a lot of things wrong, but one thing I try to do is examine myself all the time. And I feel like I do that pretty well. Why? Because I'm always saying, hey, Terry, you need to do better. But it's not easy sometimes. Terry, how's your Bible study? Terry, how's your prayer life? Terry, how are you as a father? How are you doing as a husband? How are you doing as a preacher? How are you doing as an elder? You see, if I don't do that, if I don't keep myself in check, I don't sleep. Again, I fall short at all of those. But I'm always trying to examine. And my encouragement to you is I want you to do that. It might not be a routine, but every few months, every few weeks, look at the person in the mirror and say, how are we doing spiritually? Can I do better? Have I gotten satisfied? Have I gotten comfortable? Cody's doing a great job talking about evangelism. We've got a great evangelism team. You know, and when he talked about this the other day, he reminded us all about the 70 that Jesus sent out. In those 70 that Jesus sent out, what was comfortable about what they did? I'm going to tell you, not one thing. You know what would have been comfortable to Peter? Fishing. Going home. What about in Acts 4? When Peter and John were turning the world upside down and they forbade them to not ever teach in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't do it again. I mean, what would have happened if Peter would have rallied, remember they rallied back together, they got everybody back together. If he'd have said, hey guys, it's been a good run. 3,000 were baptized on the day of Pentecost. There's now over 5,000 men that are members of the church. They're threatening us really bad. Let's just go home to our families. Let's just go home. What would have happened? You know what would have happened. But you know what they did? They got together and they prayed and they did not ask God to kill the people, to shut their mouths, or to make it easier. He said, God, give us boldness. So that despite the threats, despite the uncomfortableness, I can go out and shine the light of Jesus Christ. So how, thirdly, can we reflect Christ's light? Three ways. Number one, through our good works. We reflect Jesus through our good works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works are evidence of our faith. And they're a testimony to the entire dark world. Well, Terry, you can't do anything to earn it. I understand that. I understand that it's a free gift. But because I have the free gift, I shouldn't sit on it. I got to share it. I got to do good. There's a lot of good that goes on in this congregation. And I'm not going to name any names because then you get in trouble. But there are things that are happening that people don't know about. And in none of those, are they something that person gets up or those people get up every day and say, oh, I hope I get to go do this. Because the job may be nasty, it may cost money, it may cost time, it may cost energy, whatever. But they're going and they're doing good works. You know what that's doing? When people say, oh, thank you very much, you know what those people all say? It's not me, it's Him. Because isn't that who it is? Isn't that what we're doing? Reflecting Jesus Christ? Again, there are so many people that do so many good things around here, folks. This is the greatest group of believers on the planet. And I'm not exaggerating that like preachers do exaggerate things. The greatest group of people I've ever met. But I think we all can look at ourselves from time to time and say, hey, I can do better. Acts of kindness, acts of service, acts of love. You know what they do? They illuminate the darkness. Can you imagine that waiter who that person yelled at, who that person said, I'm not giving a tip to, who that person who may not be able to find another job, has trouble at home, everything else, they come to your table and you say, hey, how can I pray for you today? You just took their dark world and you lit it up. It's that simple. Secondly, we reflect Christ through our speech. Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech always be gracious. Let your speech always be gracious. Let your speech always be seasoned with salt. Why? So that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Boy, our words, they matter. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me is garbage. Words hurt. They hurt. Again, folks, I'm just going to be as real as I can be. I have been here almost 26 years as a minister now. 47 if you put them all together. I have had my feelings hurt. I have had people say things about me. I have had people say things to me. I have had moments when I'm like, is it really worth it? Yes, words hurt. But if I would have unplugged, it still would have been my fault. We should not throw our salvation away for anybody's words. Don't give up. But in the meantime, let's be mindful of the words we say. This isn't about me. It's about us. Let's be mindful of the way we talk, the way we act, the way we react. Our words should encourage. Our words should build up. And our words should point others to Christ. We know that in the church, but do we realize it with the world? It's the same thing. Our words should still encourage, build up, and point others to Christ. You know what transitions a bad situation? A hostile situation? I love you. That's a word, that's a phrase that changes the whole demeanor of someone. What about, I'm sorry? Have you ever had to apologize for something that you didn't do? Probably. Is it worth just saying, hey, let's have this divide between us so that we can't stand each other? Or is it worth just saying, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. How about this? Men, you look at your wives and you say, I am so proud of you. You get down on your babies, whether they're big or small, you get down on their level or you get up on their level and you look them in the eyes and say, I am so thankful God gave me you. Or, I'm praying for you. You know, the beautiful thing about it now is this. It's beautiful and it's a curse. It's real easy. Somebody does a good job. Again, you start naming names, people get mad. Tad, I'm proud of you. Didn't he do a great job last week? What does it hurt to go to him, and I'm sure y'all did, or send him a message and say, hey, I'm so proud of you. You did such a great job. I've told you this story, and I know when I get off my notes, I get long. But you know why I'm really preaching today? Because of Bonnie Harrison. Some of y'all will know that name. Sister Bonnie was a longtime member here. She's been in her reward for a while now. I was 16 years old the first time I preached a sermon here. I mean, we did Lads and Leaders when I was little, but the first time I stood up, had a lot of people helping me, and I was prepared. I had practiced that sermon probably 50 times. I had it memorized. Get up here and, you know, probably went 16 minutes, and the people were like, hey, I like this guy. Not 45. Somebody responded to the invitation. Now I'm the greatest preacher that's ever been. At 16 years old. Hey, it comes time for the guys to lead the service again. Yeah, I'll preach. You know, I'm so good, I don't need to practice as much. I don't need to rehearse as much. I stand right here. And I'm telling myself, this is the worst sermon anybody has ever preached while I'm preaching. And I remember just stopping and just shaking my head. I was critiqued earlier and said, don't ever shake your head no about something you're preaching at the pulpit. Well, I get down and my grandfather's here. A lot of people are here. All I want to do, and you know, you're standing right here for the invitation. I'm like, please, dear Lord, let's just get done with this. So the invitation is done. Nobody comes forward. And I just want to run out those doors because I don't want anybody to jeopardize their soul and tell me I did a good job. Because it would have been a lie. My grandfather comes up to me and I just cry. I've let God down. I've let the church down. People are still saying, hey, you did great. You know, I mean, the things. But I go home and I'm like, I can't be a preacher. I can't do this. People are trying to encourage me, you know, this and that. Bonnie Harrison, who couldn't get out of her house. She couldn't worship. But she sat around with the directory right by her side. She called people to encourage them. And she called me. And she said, don't you give up. You keep preaching. You could be that Bonnie Harrison for somebody. I can be that Bonnie Harrison. Nowadays, it's not just the phone, though, is it? It's social media. Can I say this with all the love in my heart? I love you. I do. But if you have a bad day at McDonald's, I don't want to read about it. What good is that doing? Oh, I'm letting people know. Well, listen, I might need to go and see that waitress and apologize for your behavior. Our words matter. People are reading that. And you know there are people that screenshot that stuff? You know how long a screenshot lasts? As long as they need it to. We can be, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, but you already did the damage. Don't blast the church. Don't blast people. Why don't we just practice that? What would be wrong with practicing that? Those of you who don't have social media, you're my heroes. But really, I tell you this, and I know I'm just off script. Early on in Bo's career, I got Twitter for him. I guess it's X now, right? Thanks, Elon. Well, you had to have it for recruiting. And my kids, I was against social media, and still am, for my kids having it. Because of some stuff now, and Bo's almost 18, I'm surrendering some of that. I trust him and all this stuff that I had to run for him. But he went to he was a freshman in high school. And he went to a camp, an invite camp up in Birmingham, and there was literally snow on the ground, wasn't it, buddy? It was so cold. He was so nervous. And, you know, I'm that daddy that I need to encourage him. Bless his heart, he was so nervous. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to get out. And I'm like, we're in Birmingham in the parking lot, and I'm ready to turn around and go home because it's hurting me that much to see my kid go through this. But I made him. And he goes out there and he competes, and they had a bench press contest. It was 185 pounds at the time. Nowadays, they'll go to the combine, do 225, but they did 185. At 14 years old, he did it 33 times and broke their record. I videoed it because I knew, you know, he was going to do a great job. I put it on his Twitter, and I'm acting like him, thankful for BTO and all these people and et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't have any access to it. He doesn't have any idea to it. The first comment, somebody said, hey, you ain't extending your arms all the way. That wouldn't count anywhere. Fortunately, I just blocked them. But you think at 14 years old, what that would have done? This is why we got to be careful with what we say. Also, parents, I think it's wise to be careful about letting our children have social media. They can't handle it. I've said that a lot. I got to hurry. Complaining, gossip, harsh words. I'm not talking about profane words, even though we lump that in there, okay? I'm not even talking about cursing somebody out or, as we say it, cussing somebody out. We know that's wrong. Complaining, gossip, harsh words, or messages I put anywhere else. Those things diminish our light. Thirdly, we reflect Christ through our holiness. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a what? Dark world, right? Crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Living differently is what God called us to do. Honoring God in our choices. It makes us shine. You remember when Moses went up to the mountain, what happened? He was glowing. He had spent 40 days with the Almighty. And when he came down from the mountain, he glowed so bright, they said, please veil that because it's bright. The closer I get to God, the more I ought to glow. The closer I get to God, the more I ought to be holy. So we've got to reflect Christ through our good works, through our speech, through our holiness. And then finally today, as we talk about this, we've got to put it all together. What does reflecting Christ do? It helps us overcome the darkness. Darkness cannot, hear me out, darkness cannot overcome light. John 1 verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know what darkness is? The absence of light. It didn't overcome light. You remove the light. As long as there is light, darkness will not win. So we don't need to fear evil, which will be against us. We don't need to fear opposition, which will be against us. We do not need to fear discouragement, which will be against us. Because the power of Christ's light that's in us, that we're reflecting, is greater than the darkness that will ever be around it. Romans 12, 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In conclusion, Christ is the light of the world. And as His followers, we must reflect His light. We shine by doing good. Shortest biography of Jesus in all the Bible, He went about doing good. That's who we are. We shine through our words. We shine through living holy. You know what? I don't want to scare us, but the world is watching. They're watching us. The question is, what will they see? Or better yet, who will they see? So here's our challenge. This week, be intentional. Shine Christ's light wherever you go. Think about Jesus being the standard. Think about Him being the light. Base every decision on what would Jesus do. The question we have to ask ourselves now is this. Am I plugged in? If that light didn't come on, if we turn the switch and the light didn't come on, something's wrong. Probably check the bulb, put new bulbs in. Then come on, something's wrong. You got to check the wire. Ultimately, you got to trace it all back, right? Something come loose. Something's not working. It came unplugged. Are you plugged in? Are we reflecting Christ? Have we surrendered our life? Those are questions you need to be honest with. The answer to any of that is no. I need to do better. I need to make it right. We have the opportunity right now as together we stand and sing.